Good morning, church. I'm going to read from 1 John, the letter, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 16 to 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the words, who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Thank you.
We've reached that part of our service where we have a service set aside just for our little ones. So if you're ages 3 to 3rd grade, if you come over here to the right side of the auditorium, we have a service set aside just for you. I'm going to sing, sing, sing. I'm going to shout, shout, shout. I'm going to sing, I'm going to shout. Praise the Lord when heaven's gates are open wide. I'm going to sit by Jesus' side. I'm going to sing, I'm going to shout. Praise the Lord.
Am I on? It's good to see everyone here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we're especially glad to have you here. Thank you for taking time this morning to come worship with us and spend some time in God's Word. We've actually been spending a few weeks now in the letter of 1 John that Lupe read for us this morning. And you may remember when we started a couple of weeks ago, I suggested to you that 1 John really covers two big themes, two big messages. One is, don't sin. And the other is, do love. Those are John's do and don't, if you will. And although I wasn't able to be with you last week, I know that you spent some time thinking about the first of those two themes, about keeping ourselves clear of sin. But this morning we're going to turn back to the second theme in our text from 1 John 3, do love one another. You may remember a couple of weeks ago I also mentioned to you I haven't been able to speak to you for a while because I've been in the throes of finishing a book project. And so usually when I'm in that phase of writing, my desk starts to look like this. It starts to pile up with lots of books and materials that I'm having to assemble. That's partly because more than half of writing really involves reading. You have to read a lot to write a lot. And in fact, I got some really good advice from the editor that I've been working on for this book, who told me at the start of the project when we were meeting and discussing and planning the manuscript, he said, make sure that you read a lot of novels and good books, books that other people want to read. That's the only way that you're going to write a book that other people want to read. And in fact, he said, the opening pages of a book are sometimes the most important parts of a book. That's when someone decides whether they want to keep going or put the book down. And so his advice to me was, when you're writing those first few pages, Find a book whose opening you really, really like and you really, really admire, and then shamelessly copy what that author did. And I thought that's actually pretty good advice for opening a book, but it's also good advice for living a life well. To find a word, to find a life that you admire, and then shamelessly copy it. And in fact, that's what John says here in 1 John 3, verse 16. He reminds us that we have a model in Jesus. We have a model for what it looks like to love. When we say to love and we say to love one another, we're not just talking abstractly about that. We have a model. And for us, the model is actually defined less by the opening pages than it is by the final pages, by what Jesus did, by laying his life down for us. He left us not just something that he did for our benefit, but something that he did for our example, for our instruction, that we ought to also lay down our lives for one another. And this is a really important verse in 1 John because it reminds us that Christian ethics is really, it's less about what you believe and more about who you follow. It's less about what you believe and more about who you follow. That's how we decide what to do. We decide to imitate and to follow and to shamelessly copy what Jesus has done in his life. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that what we believe is unimportant, because of course it is. And in fact, there's a very famous verse written by John, the same John that we've been studying in 1 John. It just so happens to also be a 3:16 verse, and you know the one I'm talking about, don't you? John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so belief is important. But this verse is the one that I think we know very well, John 3:16. It's one that you can find all over the place, on the sides of the road, find it on billboards. You can even find it on websites where you can buy jewelry. Sometimes John 3:16 has been referred to as the gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. And so everyone knows John 3:16. Everyone knows about the importance of believing in Jesus. That's much more familiar than 1 John 3:16, which demands more of us in a way than just to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Because if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we will imitate him. We will love as he loved. We'll lay down our lives just as he laid down his life for us. Now, as I'm reaching my middle age here, I'm kind of entering that stage of my life. There's sort of three categories of people. There's the category of people who can remember everything, and there's the category of people who forget everything. And I'm sort of in that middle category where things kind of seem like, have I heard that before? And I can't remember for sure, but I still have that really strong deja vu feeling. Do you know what I'm talking about? So if you're in that first category, you already know where I'm going with this. And if you're in that last category, just cover your ears for a minute, because I'm going to tell the people in the middle category a little secret, which is that you've seen these slides before. Okay. I actually, about 6 years ago, I preached on 1 John 3:16 and showed you some of these pictures of John 3:16. So if you're having deja vu, you're not going crazy. You have seen, and I've just taken my editor's advice. You shamelessly copy what worked in the past. But I have found since 2012 a couple of more examples of John 3:16 in the wild, as it were. I actually, this might surprise you, but I don't do most of my shopping at the store Forever 21. I've been told that if you do shop at Forever 21, then on the bottom of a shopping bag, you will find John 3:16 printed on the bottom of the shopping bag. Or if you go with our brother James back to California and you swing through the In-N-Out drive-through to grab a burger and a shake, you might pick up the bottom of your shake and actually see there on the bottom, John 3:16. It's everywhere, John 3:16. It's the most often searched verse on the internet by all kinds of measures, and it's one that if anybody knows a verse of the Bible, they know John 3:16. But the point is the same today as it was 6 years ago, which is that we can't forget about 1 John 3:16, even as we celebrate John 3:16. And in fact, John himself, at the end of this passage, he puts the two things together. They're not separate. He says, this is his commandment, that we should believe. There's a belief element to this. We should believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us. It's a both and here. You can't have one without the other. And in fact, to believe in him, to place our trust in him, means to love as he loved. So the gospel in a nutshell, I'd suggest to you, is that you can't just have one half of the shell. You can't just have John 3:16. You've got to have 1 John 3:16 if you want to summarize the gospel. That's the message in 1 John 3:16 through 24. Now, between the beginning of this passage and the end of this passage, John has a couple of other interesting points that he makes. First of all, he gives some concrete examples of what it looks like to love. What does it look like to lay down our life just as Jesus laid down his life for us? It could mean literally to lay down our life, and in fact, for early Christians, that and for many people in other parts of the world, even today, it may mean that. To lay down your life might mean to lay down your life. But John wants to make things a little bit more concrete, and so he asks a rhetorical question in 1 John 3:17. He says, if you want to know what does it mean to lay down your life, think about this question. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? It's a rhetorical question. God's love doesn't abide in someone who sees the world's goods or has the world's goods, sees someone else who needs help, a brother or sister in need, and refuses to help. You see what John's doing here? He's giving us a concrete example of what it means to lay down our life. And in your own life, probably you could fill in the blanks of this question with someone that you know who is in need. And so we have John to thank for giving us something that we can actually hang our actions on here. Think about someone who's in need that you could help. And if you can do that, then you have a way to lay down your life for someone else. That's how you imitate Jesus in your life this week, right here, today. So that's one of the points that I saw John making here in 1 John 3:17. But he also made another point after this verse that I hadn't really thought about before or noticed before. And to kind of explain this point, first of all, I have to get your promise that you won't tell a certain someone who's in Roots right now that I shared this story with you. He's about yay high. He has blonde hair, 7 years old. Everybody know, okay? Raise your hand or not, because we don't want to embarrass Carter. But yesterday, Carter actually, sometimes when he gets sort of upset with himself, it comes out in weird ways, and it doesn't always come out right then. It might come out later, and it might come out in some just general grumpiness. So yesterday he had a baseball game, and there were some rough parts of the game for Carter. And then later in the day, he'll do this sometimes, he just got really grumpy and down on himself and was saying, I'm the worst person ever. I'm the worst person. That's what he'll do. He'll go to to hyperbolic lengths when he gets in that kind of grumpy mood. And so he's just saying, I'm the worst person ever. And of course, the rest of us in the family, we were sitting and eating lunch, and we tried to talk him off the edge and sort of said, well, Carter, I don't think that's true, because would the worst person ever help the dugout mom keep track of how many outs there were and who's coming up to bat? And he had done that in the game. And he said, well, no, I guess not. And would the worst person ever cheer for your teammates when they're doing well and join in the team cheer at the end? No, I guess the worst person in the world wouldn't do that. And then he came up with his own example. He said, well, you remember that time when there was a ball who was coming to Raul, and Raul missed it, but I backed him up and got it for him, and then he felt really bad about missing it, so I gave him my extra piece of gum in the dugout. And he sort of smiled, and we said, no, that exactly. You know, the worst person in the world wouldn't do that, wouldn't share your gum with a teammate. You know, this was the kind of conversation that you have with a seven-year-old, but what I love about what John does in this passage in 1 John 3, I think he's actually doing something very similar to the people that he's writing to in what follows from verse 17. Because he starts to talk about what happens when our hearts condemn us. That's what Carter was doing. His heart was condemning him. I'm the worst person in the world. Has that ever happened to you, by the way? It's actually not something that just seven-year-olds do. We can get down on ourselves sometimes. And in fact, if we're thinking about the first theme of 1 John, don't sin. John has been saying, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. And yet, we sin. We do sin. And we fall short and we make mistakes and we are drawn away, as John says later, by the lust of the flesh and the glory of the world's goods and all the things that it offers. And we're distracted by those things and we find ourselves in sin. And it's part of the Christian life to sometimes then wonder, have I gone off the rails? Have I lost God's approval? Can I say that I still abide in God's love, and God still abides in me? When I just feel like the worst person in the world, how could I have done that? How could I have said that? What was I thinking? We've all been there. And in fact, John's readers had been there too. And John knows that. He knows that sometimes our hearts condemn us, as he says in 1 John chapter 3. And as Lupe read for us beautifully, of course, one of the things that John says is that God is greater than our hearts. And God knows all things. But what's interesting is that John doesn't respond to that, I'm the worst person in the world, immediately by saying, don't worry, God is love. God loves you. For God so loved the world. That would be the natural response to turn to and say, remind his readers of God's love. And he is going to do that in 1 John 4 and 5. He's going to get there. But in this passage, that's not what he does. What's interesting is that he says, when your hearts condemn you, love one another. That's kind of a strange way to reassure yourself. But that's what John does there. He does kind of what we did with Carter. He says, well, would somebody who isn't abiding in God's love show love to other people? Probably not. There's kind of a converse to this verse. Just as we could ask, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? The converse is also a rhetorical question. How could anyone who helps a brother or sister in need not have God's love abiding in them? That's kind of what John is saying in the remainder of this passage. That when your hearts condemn you and you wonder, is God's love still abiding in me? He says in verse 18, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Let us love. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. By this, that we love, not in word and speech, but in action. That's how we reassure ourselves. It's a little bit counterintuitive, but that's the message I think that John is giving us. And there's a practical application, I think, for us this week. Sometimes you do get in the doldrums. And sometimes you do wonder, am I in the right path? Does God still see me? Am I still in God's love? And John's advice is very practical here. Love. That's how you reassure yourself. Love others. Not just in word or speech, but do something to show that you love. In word, in truth and action. I'm sorry, not in word, but in truth and action. Love someone. And you will find, just like Carter did, that there's a byproduct of that. When you do that, it reassures you that God's love is abiding with you. So John's message is this morning to us, do love, don't sin. He said that. Last week we heard about that. And that's important. But it's important to love. That's the other side of this. And not just to believe, but also to imitate the life that Jesus lived, the way that He laid down His life for us. We too should lay down our lives for each other. And I'm grateful that here in this assembly this morning, we have another opportunity later to imitate Him, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remind ourselves of how He ended His life, those last pages of the word He spoke to us, and to remind us that we are called to the same kind of giving love.